but it does comfort me and sustains me, knowing that God's got this. God's got me. He's going to do what's best for me. He's going to do what's best for my kids. And I don't have to worry.
Family man. Welcome to the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. This is the show where we remind dads of what's most important. I'm your host, Scott Moore. Thanks for joining us today. Hey, Todd, how's it going?
Scott, it's got to be going good because it is sunny and warm outside. I mean, the weatherman said maybe today. That's my Australian thing I got going right now. Today is going to be a high of 88.
Awesome.
You remember Crocodile Dundee?
Yes. That was a long time ago.
No. You know, it's like my kids, they really don't know who these people are, but sometimes they have an idea. You know how, like, you know who Dick Van Dyke is, but you've really never seen him in anything? You know, or like Charlie Chaplin.
I know Dick Van Dyke. I just saw him personally.
Mary Poppins.
Yes.
Exactly. But I was at the big homeschool convention in Pigeon Forge this past weekend, and Kirk Cameron was there. And to our homeschool audience, he has a new movie coming out called The Homeschool Awakening, and yours truly and his whole family is in it.
Wow.
It's in theaters coming June 13th and 14th, Fathom Events.
Are you going to be like signing autographs at the premiere?
I'm thinking I probably will. I'm thinking maybe like, you know, wear a like a dark jacket with no shirt.
You know? That'd be so cool.
And maybe like a big gold bling chain with a dollar sign on it. And, you know, glasses and doing it upright, Scott. Doing it upright.
I'm offended. Why am I not in this?
I don't know. In fact, this is one of those things we didn't even know was happening. I mean, we knew they told us, hey, can we come and film over a year ago? It was in the winter of last year, and we didn't even know what it was. They're like, yeah, Kirk Cameron's making a movie. I'm like, okay, is he going to be here? No, he's not going to be there. And so two guys came, and they had tons of equipment. They spent the entire day from morning to night at our house, and then we never heard from them again. I mean, really, until like a week ago, they said, here's a trailer. Are all your names correct? You know, and that was it. Because I'm going to now be on IMDb. I think that's the right abbreviation.
Wow.
I don't know if I need to join the Screen Actors Guild or what.
But, you're probably going to have like a Wikipedia page someday.
Probably. That's when I will finally arrive. That's when I have a Wikipedia. Yes, I'm written in the Lamb's Book of Life and Wikipedia.
I'm offended. Me and your brother are going to be there protesting the fact that I'm not in the...
I know. Well, maybe if they make a sequel.
There you go.
So Kirk Cameron was at this event as well. And another person who was in it said, Dr. Kathy Cook, who works with Kirk, said, hey, Kirk would like to meet you, and come up and meet him. And I'm like, I don't know. The last time I met him, he asked me if I was his driver. So I was a little gun shy, but I met him, talked with him just for a few minutes. And he seems like the real deal. I mean, not seems like he is the real deal. I listened to him speak for about 45 minutes. And I mean, he shared the gospel. It was really, really cool. He shared a story. And maybe if you've heard him speak, he's probably shared the story before. But he shares the story of how he's in Louisiana going down this swamp land. And he pulls up to this double wide trailer. And this dog comes out barking. And he goes up and knocks on the door. And it's the Robertsons, you know, of Duck Dynasty. Mm. And Miss Kay had invited him for dinner. And he said, he walks in, he goes, you know, this guy has made so much money and he lives in a double wide trailer. And he walks in and he goes, it looks just like what you see on the show. It, you know, everything's camo. It's got Duck Dynasty paraphernalia nailed on the walls. And he said, Phil Robertson sitting in his camo colored chair. And, you know, he's got camo pants on and white shirt, big long beard, bandana on, no shoes. And he goes, you know, his feet are here, these gnarled toes with these giant talon toenails sticking out. And he said he didn't know me from anybody. He just thought I was some Hollywood actor. And he goes, I sat down and I said, hi, Mr. Robertson. And he said, he pulls out a piece of paper and he shares the gospel with me because he didn't know if I'm saved or not. And he goes, that was so awesome to have Phil Robertson present the gospel to him. And I just, so both of them, I was impressed by both of them. So
very cool, man.
I don't know. So anyway, we're going to have a movie. But another big deal is today, Scott, in about an hour, by the end of our time, my son Ike is having his wisdom teeth taken out. Now, he's only got two. He's trying to save money, so he's not going to be put under. But he's scared to death. He's just sure he's going to pass out because he doesn't like needles. And so at the end of this thing, we need to remember to pray for him. By the time you listen to this, he'll be on the other side, you know, saying, it wasn't that bad because I told him it was not going to be bad.
Don't let me talk to him. I hate that stuff. It's going to be terrible. I'll pray for
prepare
you.
Prepare for the ride of your life. But you felt this, Scott. You know, it's one thing when you have to go through some kind of procedure or when you feel sick, but when your kids feel sick or they're, you know, going through something, it really is a heavy thing. In fact, I got an email last night from Mark Fry, and Mark said they're expecting their first grandbaby today as we are recording this. She's been on an IV for the entire pregnancy, throws up daily. They're going to induce today. She's at full term, but it's his daughter-in-law and his son. But you can just tell. I mean, he reaches out to me, you know, Todd, you know, just to pray and to have us pray, because it feels like a really, really big deal. And it is a big deal. I know when Catherine went in to have her baby, you know, all of a sudden it just felt like a really heavy thing. It's just not easy being a dad, you know? So anyway, also Scott, there was another dad who wrote, Steve. And Scott, did we just talk last week about dating a little bit?
I don't know.
Because remember, your son was going on a date or had gone on a
date. Yeah, we did talk about dating.
Okay, well, Steve was just saying how, you know, like he's got a child who's, you know, they're starting to think about dating. And it's, you know, like all dads, we're a little freaked out a little bit by it, you know, and just, again, our thoughts on dating. So I know we talked about it last week, but again, you know, my overall thoughts are dads, we can't control it as much as we like. I think we need to be aware. We need to be involved. And I think, you know, we need to put parameters, because that's what dads do. That's what parents do. I mean, I hope, you know, we're not as stupid as, you know, some parents who just say, make sure you come in, because I don't know about you, Scott, but sometimes not good things happened in those not unsupervised, those just let it go kind of things. Or assuming the best kind of things when I was a dater. And so, you know, we put limits on our kids. But I know that early on, I got suckered into thinking that I could control everything and keep my kids from making mistakes. We talked about that a little bit last week. And, you know, I've just come to the conclusion that we raise our kids in a way that we believe God would have us raise them. And then we should believe that God would work in them, through them, and use them and bring them to a person that they would love and spend the rest of their life with. Yeah, you've seen that movie, Father of the Bride.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I know Dick Van Dyke's not in it, but hey, Steve Martin's, and he's great too.
He's getting up there.
He's getting up there. But there's that scene where, in the very first one, where his daughter brings home this guy and he hates him from the moment that he sees him, which all dads should hate their daughter's boyfriend the moment they hate them or see them. But she's trying to introduce him and she kind of gets frustrated and goes outside to play basketball and, like, you know, for a perfect movie setup. And Steve Martin, his wife, goes, you need to get out there, or she's got to run off and we're never going to see her again, which was super wise counsel from a wife, which we need those wives to do for us every once in a while, because it's true. If we put our foot down super, super hard, we just push them away and they quit talking to us. So he walks out to their basketball court and she's out there and she says something like, I know you hate him or whatever. And he looks at her and she goes, what? And he says something like, I know that if you love him, I'll grow to love him too. And I just thought that was, no, it's written by a bunch of writers, but it's the truth. If our kids see something that maybe we don't see at the time, maybe we should assume that we put it there for them to see, or put that, whatever that is, in them. So we'll grow to like them too. There you go.
I always liked Howie Mandel's advice. He said that that's why we never potty trained our kids. Didn't have to worry about anything bad happening on their dates. I always figured if a girl, you know, went in the car, I took her home.
I just appreciate you so much, Scott. You just bring it really back down to practical fathering.
That's right, man.
Yeah.
Want to ensure your kids never date? There you go. Don't potty train.
There you go. Never teach them to use a fork. Yep. There you go. Scott's wisdom. Right. Well, you did have a good idea for today's show, Scott. You sent me an article or a newsletter. Not nearly as good as any that I put out, but it was okay. And it was by John Eldridge.
Yes.
And it was kind of on maintaining margins in our lives. You read it. Why'd you send it to me? What were you thinking, or what touched you?
I have these great ideas every once in a while, and then I send them to you, and then we talk about them, and I sound like an idiot. But I'll see how this one goes.
You know, I have done that so many times where in your head you rehearse something and yes. You go, this is a great idea. And then you say it out loud and it just falls apart. I don't know why that is.
That's why I do a lot of editing sometimes. Like a couple of weeks ago, I did a lot of editing on one of those.
Did you? Okay. Yes. Well, this is going to be good. Go ahead.
Yes. Let's see. He just touched on a couple of things that I think are common to all of us right now. With, you know, the last couple of years, it's like we're all running on the absolute limit of our spiritual reserves. You know, if you think about like he had talked about on one of the podcasts, the parable of the 10 virgins who take their oil to go wait for the bridegroom, and half of them don't have enough oil. And he talked about needing to keep our stores of oil replenished. And now it's a metaphor for the Holy Spirit, and also for our relationship with God, of spending time with him, whatever it does to fill you up and make you feel like you can keep going. And it just seems like we were all sort of tapped out on that before the pandemic hit 2 years ago. And then it was just like all hell broke loose. And in this newsletter, he mentioned that he and his wife were praying and just felt like they needed to create some margin in their lives and get some more of that oil going. And the part that hit me, he said, then I began hearing a number of stories from different people, each with unique circumstances, but all with the same theme, life becoming so full and demanding that they haven't really any personal time to catch their breath. The stories kept coming, folks navigating all sorts of challenges in their personal lives for months, perhaps years, as well as the global trauma and the warfare of the hour, which we've been talking about, basically the spiritual warfare of this crazy time we live in. And he said that the effect is that these dear people are now running on very low reserves, and the demands just keep coming, and they find themselves exhausted at the end of the week. But then comes the next demanding thing that needs their attention. And he said, here's the dark twist. The stories all have enough differences that the people in them feel unique and rather alone in their situation. They don't see their stories as somehow confirming a larger movement like the end of the age that's mentioned in the Bible and, you know, all the horrible things that the devil's up to. What they see is their child's learning disabilities and heartaches and their spouse's battle with cancer, their financial strain. And every story is so personal that it feels isolating. So they don't realize that most of the friends of Jesus are going through the same thing. And I was like, man, that just sounds like the dads. You know, like that sounds like all of us. Like every one of us has something horrible we're going through. It seems like almost every one of us, you know. And yet it all seems like it's just an individual thing. Like, this can't be spiritual attack. This is just my failures as a dad. And it just struck me like, man, this is what we go through every week, you know. Like, this is our stories here. So if you feel like that, you are not alone. And there probably is some larger spiritual plan here where the devil is coordinating it very, very individually, even though it's a giant thing, you know. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Well, you know, and I think sometimes we forget, I forget, you know, that there are some dads here really, because I talk to them at these big gatherings of parents, and some of them are going through such heavy stuff, and it just feels like a relentless wave, you know, just crash, 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 crash. Because when you're not going through a really, really hard thing, like my son with his wisdom teeth, I mean, because, you know, tomorrow, I saw him this morning, I said, you know, tomorrow it'll all be over, lunch it'll be all over, you know, and then you kind of recover again. But I know there's some dads listening who don't feel like there's any recovery time, you know, it just keeps hitting and hitting and hitting. And so Scott, your take on it, I mean, you probably read it closer than I did, because he wasn't just saying we need to create margins in our life, like, because I think he said the phrase he was clinging to was defend the margins. Mm-hmm. Do you think he was talking more about just, you know, making sure we have our Sundays off or our weekends off? Or was he talking about that and other things?
Yeah. He said, I've been feeling for some time now that the enemy's plan is to wear people down and then offer us some sort of relief, which is not the same thing as deep intimacy with God. Relief and restoration are very different things. Relief says, just get me to the vacation. Let me buy some new clothes or go out to dinner. I just want to veg out and watch movies, which I've done that a bazillion times. And, you know, occasionally it's all that's needed. But I'm pretty sure God meant for us to have something deeper than that, you know. And he said that when they were praying, he heard God saying, defend margin. And they did. And when the crises came up, they had enough reserve. You know, it's like that oil stuff. We need time with God, you know, time in the word, time in prayer, time in worship, time in fellowship. And for me, that can get really frustrating when it's like, oh yeah, I need to go to church more, or I need to, you know, go to the men's group at church that I haven't gone to because it's strangers that I have to meet and then get to know. And like, that's not the stuff that's going to necessarily create margin for me. You know, it's the stuff that actually fills me up. A conversation with a long-standing deep friend where I can pour out my heart and they'll listen. That kind of stuff.
But even that, don't you think that takes some intentionalness? Because that is not, honestly, Scott, that's not me. I mean, I don't do the ships, you know, like friendship. That's a line from Lego Batman.
Well, that's because you're heartless, Todd. We know this.
I'm heartless. Well, I just, you know, my wife will say, I just feel like we need some community. And I'm like, I can't even handle the community I have now. Yeah. You know, our family takes up so much community. But it does take some intentionalness. You know, like we talked about, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about friends and, you know, how guys don't have friends. And and it might even go against even our own bent. You have some deep friendships with a few friends. But, you know, I don't have that. I've got a bunch of people that I can be real with, you know, and you're one of those people. But, you know, again, that pushes me a little bit into a direction that I don't go naturally.
So what does fill up your tank? What helps you feel like you've got the strength to keep going? Lay down on the couch here, Todd.
I'm sprawling out right now. I will tell you that, you know, physically, when I feel tired, when I feel, you know, everything feels overwhelming to me. If I don't feel good, which I didn't feel good for really a couple months after Christmas, I feel great now, but I didn't feel good, you know, and it does feel a little bit like when Jesus was in the wilderness, when he's run down, you know, the enemy comes and attacks and whispers in your ear and everything seems overwhelming. But that didn't seem like that's necessarily what John Eldridge was talking about, just getting, you know, as in temporary, because what happens when I don't feel good for the rest of my life, you know, however, because there will be a point where I won't feel good, you know. And even that, you know, Scott, this is getting really deep. This is just getting deep.
It's good.
The Family Man Show is not known for deepness here.
Well, every once in a while we need to.
But, you know, even I remember my aunt saying she was taking care of my uncle and he had Alzheimer's and it was really bad, you know, and she was one of those aunts that, you know, everybody should have just lots of energy. And she was saying, you know, I'm just so excited to get back in the Word. And because she was a, you know, super, not regimented, but she had her quiet time every day at a certain time. She gets up early, she would walk. And she said, you know, when my husband was sick, I just couldn't do that. I was too tired. I couldn't get up early. I had to take care of him all the time. And she said, you know, I really felt like God needed me to do those things in order to not just please him, but be close to him. And she said, you know, I really, in my time with him, I could almost hear him say, it's not about you. You know, even when you're tired, I'll carry you. Even when you're not in the Word, I'll carry you. And she said, you know, that was true. But still, it is based on, even as John Eldridge would say, it is based on relationship, not just on doing some of those things. But even in the worst circumstances, he is faithful. And, you know, again, all these emails that I get, sometimes I don't even have anything to say to them because it's so heavy. But I usually say, don't grow weary. God said, you know, that there's a reward if you don't grow weary and stop. And he's got you. You know, he started it from the beginning and and for our children, what he begins, he will complete. And somehow, to me, that's comforting. I don't know if that fills up my tank always, because sometimes my tank feels pretty empty. But it does comfort me and sustains me, knowing that God's got this. God's got me. He's going to do what's best for me. He's going to do what's best for my kids. And I don't have to worry that it's going out of control, because he's got them. And again, I haven't been tested in certain ways. You know, I haven't been tested where your son or daughter is going to die because they have a brain tumor. But I was talking to Justin and he tested him and he said God was faithful. So I'm just going to continue to trust him. So I don't know if that's an answer to your question, but there you go.
It's good enough, man.
Do we have anything to maybe take us out of this show that sounds a little easier?
Well, I don't know. I'm the heavy one, you know. When I'm not being goofy, I get heavy and I'm sort of like one of those stand-up comedians where they, you know, they're happy when they're on stage and
then they shoot depressed. Themselves.
Yeah. Not quite that bad.
Well, that's good. That's good.
But part of the thing, you know, to me, it's, there are simple things, and God is very merciful, which I'm discovering more and more in these hours and days and years. That's my constant prayer nowadays is, Lord, have mercy. Because sometimes I don't even know what else to pray, you know, and it's just, that's enough sometimes. It's just getting little moments here and there to connect with him. And, you know, it's kind of funny. He did mention when his disciples asked him to teach them to pray, he said, give us today our daily bread, not give me a month's worth of fuel.
Right.
You know, there's something about this has to be kind of every day.
It is every day.
So
And you know what's comforting to me again, Scott? I mean, really, that very same prayer that you just mentioned, he starts off by "Our Father." You know, really, this is a dad thing. You know, that it's really amazing to think that God loves us as a father, you know, like we like our children, love our children only better. And he does what's best for us. And, you know, that song, "You're a good, good father," it's who you are. Somehow that's comforting to me. And really, as a dad, I don't think I really understood sometimes how much God loved me until I was a dad. And how much, surely, are there times where maybe he feels even a little bit like me? Like when I have to make my kids, you know, get a shot and it's painful and I know it's for their good, but they're little and they don't understand me and they don't know what I'm trying to do and they think I'm trying to injure them and being cruel to them, but really I'm doing something loving and kind for them. So, you know, is it possible that maybe even in all this, that we are loved so, so much by our fathers? And really that makes our job even bigger because I want my kids to understand because, you know, if you have a crummy dad, you kind of believe God doesn't like you very much either. If you have a dad who you have to earn his love, then you kind of think you have to earn God's love. And it just makes what we do even more important. And so we'll leave it on that. And thanks for joining us, Dad. These conversations, you know, these conversations, if I could hold up my notes for the day, and it's three words, you know, Ike Dating and John Eldridge. That's how we start this show.
That's four words, Todd.
Oh yeah, no, that is four words. Three lines. Just kidding. Three lines. Right. You know, and that's how we start our show. And Scott usually doesn't even know what we're going to talk about. He did this day and he did last week, which were the two downer weeks. Yeah,
I promise I won't have any ideas next week. I'll just show up.
That's right. You know, and I don't even know why I was going to say that, but thanks for joining us. I appreciate your friendship so much. And honestly, I do feel like, not that I shouldn't have said that. I don't feel like I have very many friends. Really, I count you as my friend. And I love it when you email me. I love it when you tell me exciting news. I love it when you tell me you're going through a struggle. I take it as a great privilege and an honor that you would count us as friends. And I know Scott would say the same thing. Hey, before we go, let's pray for Mark, who's going to be a grandpa. And when you hear this, maybe he's going to be a grandpa on Thursday. I think that's what he said. I'm going to go look again, because he told me. Oh, Thursday. So Mark's going to be a grandpa as you listen to this. So let's pray for him. And I'm going to pray for my son, Ike, as he is ready to get his teeth yanked out in about 13 minutes. So how about we pray together? Father, we just thank you that you're a good, good father and that you've given us the same title that you have. And I just thank you that we can trust you, that even it comes wave after wave after wave, you are good and that you love us and you do what's best for us and what's best for you. And I pray, Father, that we would seek you while we can. And I pray that we would seek to have those margins that John Eldridge talked about and that we would defend them. I pray for Mark, who's going to be a grandpa tomorrow. I pray for his daughter-in-law, who's had a hard pregnancy, and they're going to induce on Thursday or today as they listen. And I pray that everything would go smoothly and they would have joy in celebrating a new child. And I pray that you would put your mark upon them, your seal upon them, and that child would come to know you early in her life or his life, and you would keep them all the days of their life. And I just pray for Ike, who's getting ready to have his teeth yanked out. I pray that it would go so much easier than he thinks. And even in that, he would see your hand of provision and your hand of healing. And I just thank you that you can, again, be trusted with all these things. There's so many weighty things. And I thank you for giving us the privilege of being dads. I pray that we would show our kids how you love by the way we love them, how you forgive by the way we forgive them, how you smile at us by the way we smile at them. And we thank you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, have a great week. Enjoy the weather, I hope if you're in a place where it's been cold, and again, I was up in Duluth, Minnesota a couple weeks ago, and it's probably still cold, but for those of us who are just getting our first taste of some hot weather, enjoy sweating and do some sweating with your kids as you clean up and plant flowers and move things around, and do it because you did that.
And that's our show for this week, Dad. Thanks for joining us for the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. If you have a question for the show, email Todd at familyman@familymanweb.com. If you have a question for me, you can reach me at scott@unsocializedmedia.com. Thanks for joining us, Dad. Have a great week.